Everybody, how's everybody doing? Happy Sunday. It's 9A Fiance Sunday. So we're going to be talking about Seasons 11, Episode 5, OG 9A Fiance. What's up, Steph? Gina's here. Hi, Shelly. We're going to jump into Episode 5. So we were missing somebody tonight. So Joan and Greg were not on tonight. But we got everybody else, right? I don't think anybody else was missing. I think we got the rest of the crew. What's up, Jal? What's up, Lisa? The Diva Speaks. Hi, everybody. Happy Sunday. Gina, I accepted you, but I don't see you in here, so I just invited you again. George, Gina, not watched it tonight. Oh, you haven't seen it tonight. It wasn't a bad episode. Hi.
Sorry about that. I don't know what's taking Instagram so long, but here we are.
What's up, Pineapple? Yeah, I don't know. Instagram's been weird lately. So, tonight, first off, there was no Greg and Joan.
Oh, the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Yeah, he wasn't on mishandling food and making me want to puke. He wasn't there this week, but we did see that he'll be back next week, and his friends are actually going to ask him about his plans for moving out and getting his own place. And from what he said in the preview, he said a year and a half to 2 years is his timeline. So I wanted to ask you about that because he said that he wanted to move out, but he does not want to rent. So he wants to buy. So he wants to have enough money to put down on a house. What do you, how do you feel about that? Like, okay, say for instance, you were living with your parents.
But you were
too. Okay. So this is a fun little scenario. So you meet an amazing guy, but he lives in another country and he moves to Canada to be with you. What is the timeline in your mind of when you and him should have your own place?
Well, first that would not be happening because I can't do overseas. I've done it and it doesn't work.
Well, no, I mean, he's coming
hypothetically.
He's coming to you. He's coming to you, though.
Hypothetically, I would anticipate that I would have, there wouldn't be, like, you're going to stay here with my parents for a year or two until, like, we can get established. Yeah, but then the thing is, he would have to find a job because we all know rent is extremely expensive where I live. Like a house, I was just at my friend's house. House was built in 1969 or something like that. It was newly renovated. They'd have to do so many repairs to it. And she paid over 2.15 mil for it. So
that's crazy.
Exactly.
That's crazy. So, I mean,
right,
I don't know
right
if
here would be like $2,000 to $3,000.
Oh, thanks for the badge, Lana. So, I don't know. I told y'all before, I can't live with my mom. Like, even if I wasn't in a relationship, my mom is, like, a very strong-willed person. And she's very controlling. Hey, Cocoa Puff. And she's part of a religious cult, but that's not even the worst part. It's more so my mom is, like, a controlling person. So, if you're under her roof, you have to you have to live your life the way that she dictates
her roof.
So
rules.
Yeah. So when I watched the Joan and Greg situation, I always go back to Lucille, his mom, because I was like, she's the enabler in this situation. Because if I tried this with my mother, it would have never happened. Like, if I was like, oh, mom, I'm gonna bring this woman to live in our house, your house, not our house, that you pay rent for. I'm not gonna pay you any rent. I'm not gonna help you, and you're just gonna deal with it. My mom would laugh and then have me removed from her house. Like, there wouldn't even be an option.
Yeah, like my brothers once lived in our basement suite, separate entrance, separate everything, and the rent was reduced to like super cheap, right? But at the same time, separate, like he paid the rent, he paid it on time, and I guess his wife or his wife now, but then it was his girlfriend or his common-law, they lived together for years. I guess she expected it for free, and my mom's just like, I got two other kids, you're getting this for free. So, and that's what happened with that. So, because you give to one, you don't have to give to all, like, all of them. You have to be fair within what you're providing
So
one you provide to the other two or three or four or whatever.
We're talking about houses. I want to jump into Sarper and Shekinah because Shekinah brought Sarper home to her apartment, which was substantially smaller than where they were living in Turkey. And Sarper feels like that was information that he should have been given. So I want to talk about this. She's an esthetician. She runs a practice out of her home, which is like her kitchen eating area is now an office.
Yeah, but how sanitary is that?
She claims she doesn't cook in it. But again, okay, so the first thing that came to my mind, Gina, I'm going to be honest, this has to be an illegal, unlicensed, illegal place, right? Is this what
was going to be showing it on TV? She can't be this stupid. Well,
this
she is. She is. We all know she is, but honestly.
I don't believe that you're allowed, because they're an esthetician, you're doing like injections. This is a very medical facility. And I'm pretty sure you can't just run a medical facility. Well, okay, they said it was zoned commercial and residential. Okay, so I guess it's zoned that she can do it. But would you, Gina, say for instance, you wanted to go get some injections done.
No.
So no, you wouldn't go to some lady who's doing it out of her kitchen, right? Because we've all heard really horrible stories about these types of situations going wrong and people who aren't properly licensed doing this and people getting sick and even dying from doing that.
Wasn't it someone's mom who did that? Like Kanye's mom? Or was it somebody else's mom who went to a...
Kanye's mom actually passed away from plastic surgery. You're absolutely right.
So, yeah. But what was with Shekinah's hot pink highlighter pants at the airport?
I don't know. I don't know. Like, there was a lot this week that got... Well, Sarper said that he would have never traveled back and forth to see her, which I thought was kind of rude because she had traveled 7 times to see him. And he was like, just so you know, I would never do that for you.
You've traveled 7 times, let's say, with Turkish Airways. You would think by now you would have some points accumulated to fly business class. I'm surprised those two,
It did look like they were in first class, though, from what I could see, didn't
it? No, that's economy seating. That's economy seating.
But the seats had the little red on the back.
Yeah, I don't think Turkish Airways, I think it's more luxury. I think maybe premium economy, maybe. But with those two, I'm surprised they didn't pull at the airport if they knew who they were and they were like reality stars to get on first or business. But I think premium economy.
Are you getting Tiger Lily vibes? Because she kind of has always made it seem like she was doing really, really well.
If you were doing really well, you wouldn't be working from home. Like, I don't know, at home studio, you would have the clientele. You would pay for rent somewhere in Los Angeles somewhere. Maybe not in LA directly, but maybe a suburb of it.
I mean, yeah, I agree. Wait, I would always look at who is giving me the injection and those lips would scare me. So Joda, okay, yeah, that's true. So the person who's doing the injections, right, if they've had a whole bunch of surgery and a whole lot of work done too, that might deter you, right? Because you're like, well, how do you wouldn't know when to stop and how much is too much because you don't know for yourself how much is too much because you're trusting that they're putting the right dose. Yeah. In and they're not giving you too much.
Well, she probably buys it from somewhere at Costco, like at Costco for like Temu version Costco, and then gets it like that in bulk.
Wait, today is the Diva Sweeks' birthday. We have to stop.
Birthday to Diva!
Right now, happy birthday, Diva! Thank you for spending your birthday here with us and watching the show. I hope you have an amazing day. I missed the comments, but everybody in the comment section is like, you need to say it's happy birthday. Happy birthday, Diva. Thank you for being here on your birthday. I know you have a million other things that you could be doing right now other than talking with us. But yeah, this Sarper and Shekinah thing, it caught me off guard because Shekinah and Sarper, well, we saw the living space, right? So I want to get your idea on what we think of the living space because it's kind of like the downstairs is all business. And then upstairs, it's like one room. It's kind of like, I guess Sarper's description was it's like a hotel room, basically. Because
well,
it's like a bedroom.
The hotel room was bigger.
Well, depending on where you're staying. I have stayed in some pretty spacious hotel rooms. And it's like one room. There's like a bathroom, a bedroom, a dresser. There's nothing to it. So what is your thoughts on bringing somebody into a space that you don't have room for?
Because and two I think, locks.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, how do you feel? Because he feels like he should have been warned that, like, yeah, I'm bringing
you. Wouldn't they do, like, FaceTime video chat? Wouldn't she have shown him like her living quarters prior to?
I mean, I do tours of places. Like, I've actually been on the phone with people. Like, if I'm gonna be visiting and I wanna see the space that I'm gonna be at, like, if I'm staying at someone's house, I'm like, let me see the room. Let me make sure that I can take, the space and accept it. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't wanna feel sympathetic with him because I'm not a fan. But I don't know. I do feel like when you're inviting someone to stay with you, there should be space for them. And to tell someone that you can't cook in the space is ridiculous. And a lot of people will argue it doesn't matter because they just eat raw sticks of butter anyway, and you don't need to
Oh
cook that,
no,
right?
have you seen their Costco reel? Like their Costco run reel?
No, what are we talking about?
They're just buying like Diet Coke. They're buying like actual not sticks of butter. Like yeah.
Oh, so they eat actual food. I mean,
They actually eat food now, like fruits and yogurt and stuff like that. And yeah.
oh, good for them. I mean, you're supposed to eat food. I mean, we are human. You're supposed to eat. I don't think you're supposed to eat a stick of butter. I'm pretty sure butter equals high cholesterol. Like, I'm pretty
Yeah.
sure that's what they've always taught us. So that idea. But another weird question. So for instance, when people cook, I do say when I walk into somebody's house, I smell what they cooked last. That's true. But when you order out, because I've been over to people's houses and I've ordered food into my house, and people will come in after I had the food delivered and they'll say, "What did you cook?" Because the smell, it still lingers even if I didn't cook it, right? So in her mind, if you order food out, it's scentless. And I don't think that that's the case.
I think it just depends on what you're making, right? Because we all add our own touches, our own spices. Like for our cooking, we use a lot of garlic, like a lot, like Italians and Portuguese, Hispanic, we use a lot of garlic, a lot of chilies, a lot of spices. We don't like our food to taste bland. So you can smell those aromas. It's like I live in a very multicultural neighborhood. Sometimes when I come home, I can smell the curries from different houses, and I'll be like, "Can I come over and just eat?" But you can smell the aromas, like from different houses. And when I order, for instance, anything to go or anything like that, yeah, the smell does not last long because it goes from the or like Uber Eats, DoorDash, whatever it is, to from the restaurant to the Uber Eats bag to like, and the smell doesn't just last long unless it's like fried food. But yeah, but like fried food, for instance, too, that smell lingers within the house. Like my dad's not allowed to cook fried food inside the house. My
Oh,
mom
so
kicked him
okay,
outside.
so she makes a
She
little sense.
makes a
A little bit.
ton
Okay.
sense. It
Well,
depends on what you're making too, because if you're just making ramen, that or like boiling water for coffee, that stuff is not gonna linger. But anything like fried, which I don't think Sharper's eating, but I think eggs, like that smell, and if you're very like gym wise, you're gonna eat a lot of eggs. A lot of eggs and a lot of chicken. So
yeah, and those are all things you have to
yeah.
cook on site. So I mean, I don't really know what she expects him to do because Sarper is a very health, fitness, health, food,
Like a health
nutrition oriented.
nut, basically.
Yeah. So telling this person who typically would be eating chicken breast, like, oh well, you have to eat fast food or you have to eat out every day because you can't actually cook in this space, I think it's a little outrageous. And also, what is she eating? Like I just have a million
Botox.
questions. And also, what a lot of people are asking, where does her daughter sleep when she comes to visit? Did
It
that
could be
cross
that
your
she
mind?
sleeps, it could be that they share the same bed or whatnot,
Well,
especially if her dog's not there for
they
a long
can't
period of time.
now, not with Sarper.
No, not now. But I don't know, the dog bed maybe, I don't know.
The daughter should have a space in her mother's home. Like, oh my God, if I was to go to my mom's house right now, my old bedroom is probably close to the same. Like, I always would have a space. So it's weird to think that she lives in this one bedroom
We
apartment
did
and
forget
there's.
that who we're talking about here, right? We're talking about somebody who just like not even let the system put their daughter through boarding school, basically, to be make it be somebody else's problem.
I mean, I wanted to believe that the daughter could at least go and stay with her mother in the summer. I wanted to believe that there was a possibility that Jasmine and Sharper to China were not equal. But I'm beginning to think that they are, because even if I was in boarding school 9 months out of the year, there would still be somewhere for me to sleep at my mother's house.
Yeah, but doesn't the dad have a hotel chain and stuff like that? Doesn't he own, like, Shekinah Baby
yeah,
Daddy?
But the hotel is in, like, another country.
I would go to the other country. Why would I want to be in L.A.? And like, I'd go to the other country. I'd be like, bye. I'm going to go with dad.
I don't know. I feel like the daughter should have the option to be with her mother. And I mean, her mother is Shekinah, so there's a possibility that the daughter does not want that option.
Well,
I don't want to hang around.
The daughter has more common sense. Like,
right, I don't want to hang around Shekinah, so it's very possible that the daughter is totally fine.
We don't even want to see her on the TV for that long, so.
We don't. Tonight was a lot. Okay, so I want to get into this Megan, Juan, and Jessica love triangle that was on tonight. So we found out, and Megan found out, apparently Jessica already knew, that Juan hooked up with this girl on the cruise ship, like when we were watching on Love in Paradise. We found out that the cruise ship girl that was a rumor back then is now a real girl that he hooked up with because he was lonely and human, okay? So we also found out, well, Megan outed that Jessica was talking to her ex. Didn't sleep with her ex, but the ex came over to her house and they were talking, bonding or whatever. And I want to ask you, because Juan is a little upset because he feels that him having sex with a random girl isn't as serious as Jessica talking to an ex. Do you agree with him? Do you feel like since there were feelings there before, it's more serious?
I kind of see both point of views. The only reason why is because, yes, like, they both did their mistakes and they both looked past it. But I think because there was no emotional ties to this other girl that Juan slept with. Like, she was just some random on a cruise ship, like a vacation fling or whatever for like a minute, versus Jessica, like, possibly having the fear of Jessica possibly having those feelings all over again for her ex. And at that point, they're at like a rocky point at the same time that they both admitted, like, where they were at, it wasn't stable where they were at. So I can kind of see both point of views of the potential that she might get to back together, like, with this, with the ex, because there was something there before, obviously, right? Versus him, this was some random, right? So, like, I don't know. I think there's more to it.
I always say, don't tell everybody every bad thing in your relationship in case you reconcile. Like, you know, when something goes wrong, kind of like what Mark was doing with his daughter, Jordan, telling Jordan everything, all their fights. Because if you tell everybody all the negative things going on there in your relationship, but then you work it out, then they're going to have all that information. Hey, Tracy. And they're not going to forgive, because clearly, Jessica forgave one and they moved forward. Like you said, they admitted they were both in bad places. They made mistakes. They were going to try to make it work. And they, in turn, got pregnant, got married, had a baby. You know, they're very far along from where they were. But is it Jessica's responsibility? Say, for instance, you have a best friend that she knows everything about you. You tell her everything. There's no secrets. I have a best friend like that. So is it Jessica that we need to fault for not being honest with Megan? Because Megan was left in the dark. She didn't know that they had talked about the cheating, moved on from the cheating. Is it Jessica's place to tell her best friend, or do you feel like some things are personal no matter how close your friendship is?
Especially with like such a close bond that they both have and they both share, it would basically, because Megan seems to, like, I like Megan. Everyone needs a Megan, like Kara says. Everyone needs a Megan in their life. But I think she's too, and it could have been production, in case she watches this.
Yeah.
It could have been production as well. But I think she's too involved in the relationship, right? Like, she didn't give really Jessica the third degree when she was talking and the ex came over. She didn't really give her a hard time with that, but yet she was she's playing the devil's advocate. She's giving Juan a hard time for something that happened 3 years ago, but or whatnot. But both of them were, they both agreed that they're at a place in their relationship where it was just very, like, unstable at the time. So, but again, it could be productions, like, adding fuel to the fire type of thing like that and telling her how to portray herself, right? But I do think at some point in time that you kind of need to stay out and out of everybody's relationship because it's not your, you're not in the throuple, you're not in a threesome relationship. You need to remove yourself out of that.
I had to learn that, right? Because I'm very involved in my best friend's lives. And when someone is being mistreated that I really, really love, it's a very personal issue for me. And mm-hmm. I've had my friends tell me, like, this is my battle. Like, you have to let me fight. You know, you have to let me fight it. Oh,
well, Megan, I know. I'm very protective, too. But then I've just come to terms as well as yourself, as you've mentioned, like, kind of just take a step back. I'm like, you know what? I told you what you needed to do. You want to listen to me? Great. If you don't, well, don't come crying to me. Don't say I didn't tell you so.
Well, Megan's in the chat and she said a few things. So she said the ex was an ex from high school and there really wasn't much else to that. And we know Jessica is a very established, professional, college-educated therapist. So we're going back to high school, back when she was a kid. So I guess the ex situation was a little over-exaggerated for the show. But Megan also said that lying is her number one no bueno in life. See, I'm down with that. I hate being lied to. I would rather you say something horrible that will hurt my feelings and make me cry than you lie to me. Because I also feel like lying is the most distrustful thing. Like, I would rather you steal my car. I'd get over that more than you just lying to my face. Because then I feel like I could never trust you again.
I hope you don't hate me, Megan. But like I said, it could have been production. It could have been many factors, right? But I said, everyone needs a Megan in their life.
Also, Shake says, sometimes you need not tell your friends everything. I mean, I agree, but I also feel like I have a small circle of people that literally know everything about me, everything. And if they even know when something is wrong, like before I tell them, because we're just that close. So I understand that we probably shouldn't be that close, but I do have a couple of people in the world that are like Megan, like we just,
you
we're basically one person.
No, you just.
Yeah, we're like Siamese twins separated. Like we're one person, we tell each other everything. We're like Darcy and Stacy, I guess. We're unhealthily close. Yeah. It's unhealthy, it's not okay, but that's just how we are. So I understand where the situation with Megan is coming from because I have a best friend and in her relationship, I'm way involved and I have like very strong opinions. And, you know, and what's funny about best friends is we can look at each other and know what's right and wrong, but we do whatever we want regardless. And we still make horrible mistakes, right? And we'll look back on it afterward and agree that it was wrong. But for some reason, people have to figure it out on their own. Mm-hmm. And I think it's probably difficult because you have to remember, Megan, I'm pretty sure, was on that cruise when she met Juan. So Megan was with Jessica because they were, I'm pretty sure they were traveling together, weren't they?
I kind of feel like they were.
If you're still in here,
I'm like, would you be that boy? Would you be that stupid to do that? Like,
well, I'm pretty sure, Megan, if you're still in here, Megan said that they were traveling on the cruise together because she had met, I want to say they met around the same time. So Megan was very invested in this relationship. Yeah, literally since day one. Yeah, so Megan was invested because she was there from the very beginning, the blooming of the relationship. So her being overly involved is almost, yes, even with her ex-husband. See, yeah, see, Megan is very involved in all of the aspects. So I think it's probably an unhealthily close relationship, but I can relate because I have those.
Everyone can relate because we all have that one friend.
I'm that ride or die friend where you can call me at 3 a.m. and you either want to go get drinks or we need to bury something and I'm down either way. I'm a ride or
I'm
die
down,
friend.
Like, I'm down either way if it's on a weekend. It's on a weekday. I'm waking up at 5:45 in the morning. We can do that. But we can do it at 5:45 when I'm
sometimes you can't wait. You know, like I'm that ride or die friend. I just sent my bestie a meme the other day. They were like, if you don't feel like cussing somebody out, call me. I'll do it for you. Because I'm that type of friend, right? Like, my circle is ride or die. And I was in the room holding Juan on the phone while David was born. So, yeah. I understand Megan is kind of in a throuple with him, almost, right? Like a non-sexual throuple. She's very involved in the courting, the wedding, the struggle, the K-1 visa.
From the downs.
Yeah, and remember, Megan was actually the one, she was the one helping prepare the house for when one was gonna arrive, right? I saw the reel of her decorating. She's very, very involved. So moving on from that, how do you feel about the fact that one cheated on her? Because, you know, a lot of us were defending one and saying that he wasn't the cheating type and he wasn't a bad guy. Well, now we know that he did cheat. Does that change your perception of him at all? Do you feel any different?
I knew when, because it's just like, and I think I said it in like before on your lives, like he's not looking someone dead in the face. Like he keeps twitching, he keeps moving around. That's when you know someone's lying. I'm like, he's hiding something. Like he is hiding. He is definitely hiding something.
He did get really nervous and defensive the first time when Megan was asking about it. And what makes you wonder, because we don't know, the cameras don't show us everything. Did Jessica know then? And they had already talked about it, and that may be why he didn't want to say anything on the show, because they had already decided that they were going to move past it. And he didn't want to say, I'm a cheater on TV, you know, because then we're going to start judging as though this was fresh. This just happened. And because the first time around when they asked him, in my best Chloe scream, liar. Yeah, it's difficult to judge people when they've been forgiven. Right? Because it's like, you can be forgiven, but the court of public opinion might not forgive you. So I think that one, admitting this on the show, he's going to have a lot of haters. He's going to have a lot of people calling him a cheater and a liar and all these names. And he's going to have to deal, you know, with the public feeling, yes, she knew before. Okay, so Megan says she knew before she was even pregnant. Okay, so yeah, I think that they had moved forward from it. And I also think that rehashing this cheating on this show is going to be kind of... what's the word? It's going to be kind of difficult on their relationship, you know, when you have to relive a traumatic moment. That's not something that people enjoy doing.
So both seem happy. They both seem like very happy, secure in their relationship. So it could be just like a last resort thing, like just adding in storylines that are basically irrelevant at this point in time, because they've moved on. Everyone's moved on. Production needs to move on with the situation.
Coco Puff says, what's more upsetting, one lying or Jessica not telling Megan? Which is worse?
Jessica not telling Megan.
Yeah, I do. I feel like it was Jessica's, because this whole conversation, say for instance, it wasn't a production driven conversation, could have been avoided if Jessica would have just told her. Right? Like, I feel like if she would have just been honest with her and told her, because then Megan wouldn't have felt so driven to get that information out of him.
So passionate about the situation at hand, right? It wouldn't have been brought up in a public space, probably. It would probably be brought up in a private space between them three and how she was feeling and whatnot. So,
yeah. All right, so we're going to move on and talk about some... I agree, we say it all the time now. Yeah, we're gonna talk about some Maddie and Stevie, because Maddie met Stevie's dad, and it didn't go as bad as everybody anticipated. So they had this little meeting by the bonfire, and Maddie saw axes and sledgehammers, and he considered them weapons. And he was a little nervous. And how do you feel about the fact that he thinks everyone is out to get him? Do you think that that's like some sort of cultural shock? Because, you know, in his country, everybody was out to get us here. So when he comes here, he thinks everybody is out to get him. He's going to get in trouble or he's in danger. Do you feel, how long do you think it's going to take him to get over that?
I think it's basically like, I know the whole false, like, or whatever, culture shock type of thing like that. But I think at the end of the day, it is what TV depicts North America or America there. It's what they want you to see, right? Same thing with like censorship, right? So the same thing as it is here. You turn like CNN or whatnot or any other news broadcast will only show what they want you to see. They won't show actuality, real, like the real stuff, right? It's just what they want you to see. And they'll edit it, they'll be like, we know that, it's TLC. We know they do editing. We know that. So, like, that's what they do with censorships with the, like, TV, and especially with such a country that's so, like, what's the word for it? Not, I don't want to say not diverse, because they've made it cultures. I don't want to be that person.
Well,
but
here,
something that's so closed-minded, basically.
Yeah, we're closed-minded on most cultures that we don't, or we're not familiar with.
Yeah.
Like, we're very open-minded and diverse in America, but we're very closed-minded when it comes to acceptance of other countries and their cultures and other nations. We don't really have an open mind towards that. Like, we accept it to an extent, but then we're also going to call it weird.
Yeah.
It was
so
enough. Oh, Z-Mom says it was a chainsaw. Watch any U.S. scary movie. And yeah, Texas Chainsaw Massacre is the first thing that came to mind. So yeah, when you see, and actually when I go to Halloween Horror Nights, you know, they love to chase me with a chainsaw in their hand. So yeah. I'm thinking, Madi is thinking of, you know, what we consider to be horror flicks slasher movies and everything. And it's like, well, yeah, that is a part of our culture, the movies, but there aren't actual people chasing people with chainsaws in real life. You know, like, this is a
fictional
idea. Yeah, I mean, that, you know what, though? I think the Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie might have actually happened.
I think some parts of it were based on a true story.
Yeah, so, but that's not stuff that happens every day.
Always spreads the truth. Is it just me, or did I just realize today that Stevie's like 9-10 years older than him?
Well, you didn't know their age difference?
I didn't do the math. I was like, watching it, and I'm like, wait, there's like 9 years.
She's a bit older. Yeah, she's a bit older than him. And also, did you realize that he's the English teacher and not her? A lot of people had that backwards as well. He teaches English.
I thought she taught him English.
She taught him, but in his country, he's an English teacher. Isn't that ironic? Like, you have an English teacher, but you're also a teacher. It's like you being a psychiatrist, but you also have a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
It struck me as really weird.
I think a psychiatrist always needs.
Well, yeah. If you're able to help with other people's problems, you have a lot of problems. It's true. Your psychiatrist has a psychiatrist. But I thought it was interesting because she was his English teacher, and then in Iran, he was an English teacher. So it was a weird situation.
It's like there's an accent there, but it's not like overly accentuated, basically. But did you notice, and he'll probably freak out about this and never eat another marshmallow ever again, but most marshmallows contain gluten, which in marshmallows are pig fat or whatnot, or come from pig gluten. He can't eat pig, but yet he's eating a marshmallow, unless they got vegan ones. And I'm pretty sure they did not consider
that. Whoa, wait. They have pig fat in them, is what you're saying.
Yeah, gluten. And most marshmallows are made of gluten. And most of gluten, which can come from a cow, pig, whatever, most marshmallows are made from pig gluten.
I didn't know that. Yeah, I'm assuming that he didn't know that. He doesn't seem like the most strict Muslim. Like, so far, he hasn't really brought up being Muslim. Other people have to bring it up. Hold on. So, Joda says, dare I say the conversation is less fun when someone in the chat is from the episode. Is it? I don't know. Sometimes I feel like it gives you a little inside information because they'll answer a question or two. So if you are wondering something, it helps. If you're trying to be mean, it does make it a little less fun because you don't want to be blatantly mean to the person to their face. So like if Sarper or Shekinah entered the chat, I would probably remove them from the chat because I just want to speak freely. I don't want to feel like I need to steer.
Well, ask her where she got her pink pants from. She'll look like the Pink Panther.
But
they do have vegan marshmallows. They do have vegan marshmallows. But well, I was just like, marshmallows?
Maybe they were. Coco Puff says that Madi feels AI generated. Do you feel that? He looks AI generated. Someone else said that he has a very monotone tone, and he doesn't react like he has one.
Yeah, he sounds like one of those when you're waiting on hold for like a service provider, like, please hold, the next agent will be with you in just a moment, and you're like, dang it, I don't want to wait.
Well, he's very boring, you know, like I think that he has that kid in Disneyland thing that he's been doing in all the episodes where He's like, America's so weird. America's so crazy.
We kind of find out Marshmallows has pig gluten in it.
Well, you got to read what in America, there's a lot of stuff in the food that you don't realize is in the food, right? Mm-hmm. Like you'll be eating something and there's weird, half the stuff you can't really even pronounce. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you got to be very careful. And you know, I grew up vegetarian because of the religion I was in. So we were very aware of what we could eat and what we couldn't eat. So we had to be really, really careful because even certain vegetarian foods that are advertised as vegetarian still had pig fats or certain things in them or pig oils. Even that made it
not vegetarian.
Yeah, so you got to be really careful when you're avoiding certain foods or certain meats because, yeah, there's something that you might think you can eat that you really can't. Oh, so I want to talk about the thruple. So the thruple situation in Tijuana where Matt slept with Annie without getting permission from, oh, Patty, no, I'm not a vegetarian anymore. I stopped being a vegetarian when I was 21. So Matt slept with Annie without getting permission from Amani. So I'm confused at how the thruple situation works. Because
just as confused as you. And where are these kids for 2 weeks? They're like,
I don't know.
They
left the kids back in California for 2 weeks so they could get to know Annie's family. And oh, one other key thing that I forgot. Annie didn't tell her 20-something-year-old son that she's dating both of them. It was easier for her to tell her son that she was dating Matt and Amani was her friend. Also, her family is very Catholic, and she doesn't think her family will accept her being in a thruple. But she works at a gentleman's club as a stripper. So I was like, so your family's fine with you dancing naked for people, but they're not fine with you dating two people at the same time.
It's probably because she's giving them money. She's a hustler. She's gonna, oh, guess what? I can be on the show and get money. I can do stripping. I can do whatever it was, working in a brothel, and get money. If I'm giving that money to my parents, they've got nothing to worry about. They can't say anything because I'm sourcing their house, basically.
That's terrible. That's almost like being a pimp to your child, right? Because it's like, I accept what you're doing as long as you're giving me some of the
money.
But
honestly, like, if her parents are so religious and they're Catholic, right?
Yeah.
What are you going to tell them? Oh, I work at, I do all these night shifts. Where do you work at? Sure as heck, I ain't working at no hospital.
I mean, I feel like if you work at a strip club, and eventually someone is going to tell someone.
And
right?
Everybody knows everybody's business.
That's the type of information that gets around. There is a person in my family who was working at a strip club, and that information got around states. I wasn't even in the same state as the person, and I found out that they were working. Because that no one wants to call anybody for real reasons, but I got lots of information on that. So I know that, well, hold on. Donna says they do not have any ground rules set. Yeah, that's true. They don't have any ground rules. They don't know. And Lisa says this is why thruples never work. Jal says maybe it's because Annie is the girlfriend, not the wife. Oh, so since she's the girlfriend, you would have to have... But Gina, I have a question. When they're having sex, do all three of them have to be present? Like, is that a ground rule for a thruple?
I don't know how it works. I've never been in a thruple before either.
Oh, you've never been in a thruple?
I don't want to be in that position. But I'm assuming out of the rules or whatnot, you would have to have, like, permission. Like, I don't know. After watching Seeking Sister Wives, Seeking Brother Sister, like, after seeing those shows and that dynamic, yes, it's different, but kind of the same.
Well,
but like they all have their own set days or the
yeah,
guy has their
yeah.
own set days. So obviously, like I would presume if you're sharing a bed together, then I presume that you would need to like run it past the other person and vice versa. Like
so
there's some open communication going on. But
so
again, I could wrong. I don't know how that works.
I still have a million questions. Because say, for instance, remember, Annie works while Matt doesn't. So say, for instance,
oh, yeah,
Annie...
she works at work. The...
So say, for instance... Say, for instance, this thruple gets to where they all live in the same house. So say, for instance, Matt's at home because he's at home, and Annie's at, or Amani's at work. Is he not allowed to be intimate with Annie while she's not at home? Because she does work a lot, she claims. So it's like, I don't really understand.
Doesn't she work from home?
She doesn't really say. She just said that she works in tech and she works and makes a whole bunch of money. But we're learning that it's not what it seems. A throuple work. Wait, Shake says a throuple works if you are in your late teens, early 20s with no kids and no attachments. Okay, I can understand that. But even being, because Annie's kids are grown, so there's no real. Well, no, one of them is grown. The two younger ones, again, this is going to be a very awkward conversation for the kids, because somebody's going to have to explain to them why they would have two mothers and a dad and they all sleep in the same bed. And that's another question. Are they all, say for instance, when they move in together, are they all going to sleep in the same bed? Because, you know, with the sister wives, a lot of times the women had separate rooms or separate beds and then they only slept with the husband on certain days. So, like, how would that work?
I think they would all sleep in the same bed because they've all been active with each other, like swapping spit with each other. So I would assume they'd all be in the same bed.
You would think, and if y'all have all been intimate together and y'all are all in a relationship together, I feel like you don't need permission to sleep with each other. But again, I've never been in a throuple, and I don't know how I would react because I have jealousy. I'm a human being, and I would feel left out. Like, and I think a lot of people don't consider those feelings when they enter into situations like this. It's like, we're all human, and we want attention, and you can feel left out of your own relationship. Well,
when, I think Amani was beginning to feel like the third wheel because, like, when she got into the hot tub, that's when I think I saw her face turn, like, on the third wheel in this right now.
Well, it's funny because she's the one that initiated this throuple. Do you remember she said it was
exactly
her?
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's interesting that she's not comfortable with what she created. You know, they went over there, they liked this stripper, they had fun with her, and she's the one that brought up, you know, we should all enter into this thruple relationship. And it's like, people don't realize the emotion and feelings and extra baggage that comes along with trying to be in love with more than one person, right? Did you see that Matt said her name as Hanny and production chose Annie? I did see that. He actually said it tonight on the show. I definitely caught that. I was really confused. And I didn't know which one was her real name. Wait, hold on. There's some more comments here. She seems like she wanted a girlfriend for her, but not him. Yeah, that's what people are saying on X too. It seems like when the attention is shifted to Matt, she has a stank look on her face. I don't know if y'all noticed it tonight, but whenever Matt was hugged up on her, or when Matt's too close to her, she looks upset. And, you know, we remember when we were watching Tariq and Hazel? And Minty, and they were gonna add, well, Hazel wanted to add Minty to the relationship, and Tariq was not allowed. And, you know, that might be what she actually would prefer. Mm-hmm. She would want a girlfriend for her. But let me be real. I think that Annie is more into Matt than she is into Amani. Do you get that vibe? I feel like she definitely is into Matt.
I get it too, because she has to, like I said, this girl is a hustler. Annie is a hustler. She wants that green card to get out of Tijuana. So she's going to do anything she can to wrap her little finger around this Matt, so Matt can divorce Amani or whatever, and so he can marry her.
This is true. And Coco Puff
says, so she has to be more of, like, inclined to him, right? And show him the attention.
Oh, thanks for joining, B. She says her first time joining, and she's been listening to us on Spotify. Thanks for joining. The first time joining us live. Shout out to you. Coco Puff says, if she comes here and can't work, then her and Matt will be at home all day alone together. Exactly. So the jealousy issue. But again, we don't know if Annie actually works outside, or Amani works outside the house or not. She might work from home, which would make it a little more manageable. But would you want to be in a relationship where you have to watch and monitor other people to make sure they're not doing anything behind your back? Because that would bother me too. Like, I don't want to have to wonder what people are doing behind my back.
I don't want to be anybody's boss. I don't want to be anybody's supervisor. So, you know. But again, we wouldn't be even putting ourselves or our families or kids in into a situation like this. So, yeah. They're just a kid.
I mean, it sounds amazing when you hear it, right? Like, it sounds amazing. You're like, oh, wow, a thruple. Hey, Bestie. Hey, Kim.
Hello, Kim.
It definitely sounds like something that you think would be fun. But again, a threesome is something that you do one time and you don't do it again with the same person. And I think a lot of people have.
And then you only admit it when you're playing Never Have I Ever. And that is
Never Have I Ever. And you need to be drunk, right? Yes. Because I think people want to take that feeling of a threesome. Oh, yeah, tonight, guys, Kim Jamal are back on Pillow Talk. Make sure you're tuning in to Pillow Talk. We're about to end here soon and watch the new episode of Pillow Talk with Kim and Jamal. But yeah, I think a lot of people are trying to extend that feeling of a threesome. A threesome is something that you do when you are bored in your relationship, but you still love each other and you want to spice things up. And then you get a person on Tinder, and then afterward, you block them on Tinder. Because you don't want that person reemerging, because that's usually when problems start.
And you don't meet at each other's houses. You meet at a hotel. They don't know your names. They don't. You don't have them on social media, and you move on.
Yeah, this whole thruple situation it could have all been avoided if they just would have had a threesome, and left her in Tijuana, and they went back to San Diego, and things would have been fine. But I think that creating our thinking you can create a relationship out of a threesome is stupid work, right?
Like, stupid work. It's all for clout. It's all for the clout, because they're on that Netflix show. That didn't work out. Like, they're trying to be relevant, like sliding into DMs. Like, no. They're all about clout chasing.
So, Mark and Mina left the baby in the plane when they got to North Carolina. Did you
what?
See that? Nobody noticed that little Maria was still in the plane, and they were putting all their stuff in the truck. And that was a lot for me, because that little baby is like tiny. So I was like, how do you forget? I get if you got like a 15, 16 year old.
She left her son in Paris. So to leave her daughter in a plane.
Well, this
and
is
he's old. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that whole scene got me, but my favorite scene of the night, I have to say, was Jordan and Mina's conversation tonight. Jordan is a firecracker. We met her husband, I think his name was Caleb, tonight, and she speaks her mind, but I gotta say something about Jordan. Y'all might come after me for it. I don't think Jordan is more so worried about protecting the family's money as much as she's jealous of Mina taking her dad away. Because she said a few things tonight that caught me off guard. She was like, well, you know, he's too old to be having kids and I don't want any more siblings. And I was like, well, your dad is still alive. And if he wants to enter into a relationship, he's allowed. He doesn't have to die alone. You know, and if he wants to have more kids, he's allowed to have more kids. And he doesn't need your permission as a daughter to have more kids. Yes, it's not ideal. It's not something that he should be doing at his age, but who are you to tell your dad, like, oh, you're too old to be having kids, and you're too old to be getting remarried, and you're too old to be with a stripper? You're like, who are you to tell your dad? Your dad is still alive. As long as he's still alive, he can do whatever he wants. Even if he's making crazy, bad decisions, that's probably why your mom
that's
left him in
choice.
The first place.
That is right. His choice, not her choice. Like, at first, I really liked Jordan. I thought she was, like, looking out for his best interest, which, obviously, I'm not a fan of Mina still, but at this point, like Jordan was blaming Mina for, sounds like, everything. Yes. And it's like, no, it takes two people to tango, right? One happens to be your dad. You're not, like, you're getting more mad at Mina than you are at your father, which you should be. If you're going to be upset at both parties, well, not just pick on the one person and be a bully about it. I don't like Mina. She is a gold digger, yes. However, like Jordan crossed the line, and I think Jordan's boyfriend, husband, or whatnot, I think he reminds me of Greg, to be honest, this season, the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Wait, you got that just from tonight? I didn't get that.
I don't know what it is. I think it's like the height, like the weight. Like, I think, I don't know.
Well,
The fact that Jordan was overemphasizing, like, the baptism, the baptism's not about Jordan. It was about Maria. It was about that baby being christened, right? It's not about her, about her. Put that aside. Yeah, she took 4 hours to get ready, but you had your sister there, your baby sister or your half sister's baptism. Don't worry if Mina's taking 4 hours. You're with the one person that matters on that day. And she was there. So who cares about everything else? So
I definitely think that Jordan is more so worried about how much attention she's not going to have. Because she also said something interesting. She was like, well, what if I want to have more kids? Then you shouldn't be having more kids because I want to have kids.
Then that's all I care. Like, okay, you do you, boo-boo, and I'll do me, boo-boo. But
I just feel like everything is about her, and she wants to make sure that the attention is always on her. And you nailed it though, because when Mina got pregnant, because I think I accidentally said that she trapped him on X. I said Mina trapped Mark, and a lot of people came at me and they were like, "No, you can't say that because that baby did not get in there by accident, and he was a full, willing participant." In that, so it's true, you know, the dad is a full participant. He's 50% at responsibility and at fault for whatever she feels is wrong. But if her dad starting a new family is bothering her, she has to take that up with her dad. Mina is not the enemy. Her dad chose this woman. This woman didn't just show up one day. He went back and forth to see her to France over and over and over. So I don't like how when a woman is mad at another woman and there's a man involved, for some reason the women want to fight each other, and the man gets away. Yeah, and the man gets away scot-free. You know, he's definitely a problem, right? Like, obviously there's fault in everybody, but he picked the woman. He knocked her up. He's gonna marry her. He brought her over here. You have to talk to your dad too. You know, you can't just go and tell her I don't like you and you should go back to your country. You know, your dad brought her here.
I think both of them have the same strong personalities, and that's why there's like, they're like oil and vinegar. They're not mixing well because they have the same exact personalities, basically. Like, one thinks one is snake, the other one thinks the other one's a snake. But what, before the whole Jordan debacle happened, like, I was just like, why does Mina want to dress sexy? Because like to piss off Jordan, it's not making any sense to me. I can see if there was another woman. I was so confusing.
I didn't understand. Like, why would she be jealous? This is her dad. Why would she be jealous? It's like the whole vibe between the two women is just odd to me, right? Because it's like they want to make each other enemies, and I don't know specifically why they think each other are enemies to each other. I mean, I get she looks at it as I was going to get a fat inheritance, you know, because they have this business that they started and the daughter and son both work there. And, you know, this person is going to now come and take part of that business. I get that. But I think more so she's just jealous that her dad is going to be focusing more on her instead of his daughter, which I think is ridiculous.
If Jordan has kids or whatnot, she's going to be preoccupied with that. So, you know, what kind of person do you want?
I look at it like you're 27 years old. You don't need your daddy no more. And isn't that what Caleb is to her? Isn't that her daddy now? Like, she got a whole man. And she's talking about, you know, well, what about me? And I'm like, that's your man's job to take care of you. Your dad is grown and got another kid now. Like, he's done taking care of you. He's not going to be your 911 emergency contact. You got a whole husband now. That's your 911 emergency contact now.
Yeah. I guess we'll see what unfolds with them. So too bad we didn't see the Doughboy on tonight, but it's either between Sarper or Doughboy.
He wasn't on, but real quick, we got to end. We've been way over, but Aaliyah is coming to the U.S. She got approved, and Sean told us that he has never mentioned to his children or family or friends that he's in a relationship with her. And I feel like that's a really bad move, you know, to bring somebody over that you're gonna marry without telling anyone. His 86-year-old mom knows.
Oh, but what doctor is she seeing? And she needs to share that information with me. If she's 86 years old, I'm like, you are not 86 years old.
86.
I'm like, you are making me in your 70s. I'm like, 86?
She looks amazing. She was day drinking, and I want to be like her one day.
I will be
like her. I can't understand, because, you know, he showed us a lot of expensive stuff, and he lives in the Hollywood Hills. You know, his house alone is probably worth $5 or $6 million because of where it is. Mm-hmm. Not even, it doesn't matter what shape it's in. So his kids are definitely going to, yeah, Coco Puff, that's a good question. They didn't know about Douglas or Aaliyah, because apparently he's just not been telling them about the relationship. Which
That's because he's iffy about it, because if you notice, Aaliyah was like, saying, I'm going to America. She didn't say, I'm going to America to be with you.
Whoa.
Or to see you. Just, I'm going to America.
We know what's happening. Aaliyah, because they said they've been together almost 5 years. She's 25 years old. So that means that he was 59 or 58 and she was 20. So, or Douglas was 20 at the time. We know what's going on. That he, Douglas, when he was a male, targeted a rich American. And, you know, now that she is Aaliyah now, and it didn't, we know that Aaliyah did not fall in love with Sean because he was the most attractive, smart person in the room. I think Sean attracted her because of the lifestyle.
Yeah.
Wonder if people are going to call her a gold digger. Yeah, I think ZS Mom, that's the direction I feel like I'm going in. I don't Me think too. That this situation would have lasted as long as it did or progressed this far if that wasn't the case. What does a 20-year-old, because Douglas was 20, have in common with a 58-year-old man?
Well, it worked between Armando, right?
Oh, and Kenny? Armando wasn't that young, though. No. I think Armando was closer to 30, right? And Kenny was like 58.
Yeah, but there was still an age gap, too.
Yeah, you're right. But I think that, and no offense, Sean is a nice guy, but I don't think that most 20-year-olds were looking to get with Sean. Right, I think Sean's status and money and where what he does, he's a celebrity stylist. He works in Hollywood and New York City.
His status speaks for itself, basically.
Think that if he was a regular guy, okay, let's say Sean lived with his mom in Staten Island and he's Greg. Do you think that Aaliyah, Douglas wouldn't have noticed Sean?
No.
If that was the case, I think Douglas noticed Sean because of who Sean was, the status that he had, what he did. And now that Douglas is Aaliyah, she's coming over here because of the status. Because like you said, she's like, I got to prove I'm going to America. She didn't say I'm marrying him. She didn't say any of that. She just said, I'm going to America. And then her mom, when she said to her mom, she said, I can't believe that I'm leaving. This is our final moment together. And the mom was like, but I see this as a blessing. Your dreams are coming true.
Right.
Dreams, marrying him or going to America, because that's not clear, right? Or is it the same thing?
Going to America, because that's
I think she has some big dreams. Oh, so Pineapple says Armando was 27 and a single dad and a widower. He had going through a lot in a very short amount of time. Yeah, Armando is way more mature, and Armando has a lot more life experience than Aaliyah.
Yeah, I was Aaliyah, just comparing the age gap, not the maturity level, not like looking for what, like not the stress level that Armando had. I'm raising being a single father. It was more of the age gap between Kenny and Armando.
So wait, Armando had a previous relationship. Douglas Aaliyah had no experience. Right, Douglas Aaliyah was just starting out. You're right. He has a kid. He wasn't looking for Hollywood. Kenny and Armando are on a single parent support group. Yeah, they met on a single parent support group. That's how they actually met, because Kenny had two daughters, I believe, and Armando had one daughter, and that's where they met. And yeah, but anyway, I definitely want to see how this is going to go. I want to see how things go, because this story actually started off differently when we were watching Aaliyah and Sean's wedding. They started off at the 90th day for the wedding, and then they did 3 months earlier. They don't usually do it that way, and they made it look as though they didn't get married or there was all these issues at the wedding. So I think we're working our way up to what really went down. I'm assuming they did get married, because from what I can see on Instagram, she's here. So currently right now is here. So I'm assuming that they did get married. So I don't know what all that extra drama was about.
You know, Just putting the tea in the kettle, you know.
Yeah, we're brewing it, and when it's ready to be served, we'll serve you all that tea. But
Yeah.
that was episode 5. Tomorrow we're gonna come back for, there's one more episode, right? Tomorrow is the final episode. Am I right or no?
God, I hope so. Whatever episode we're on of this madness.
Yeah, I think it's the final of the last resort, and then we're going into the tell-all. Or it could be not, and then it's two more. I can't remember now.
I can't remember, but I know there's 17 episodes. Seven, like God only knows. 17 hours of my life that I'm never going to get back.
Yeah, but hopefully we're getting closer to the tell-all. Oh wait, I can probably tell y'all I have a number on here. The last resort. So it was episode 14. No, sorry guys. Tomorrow's 16. Sorry. So tomorrow's episode 16, and then next week will be the recommitment ceremony, and then following that is.
Going to show up other than Julie and
Well,
Brandon
there'll be the recommitment ceremony episode,
and
and then
Stacy
after.
Stacy and Florian. That those are the only two. Who else is going to show
Yeah.
up? We
Well,
already know.
we
We
know
don't need this.
Jasmine isn't gonna recommit to Gino because she's already with Matt, right? So, but
Exactly.
we'll get into that. And I'm only interested in the tell-all, to be real with y'all. I
Yeah.
don't really want to even watch any more of it, but we will. We're gonna
But
take
we
it from there.
will. We'll take it. You know it's a bad episode when I'm at the gym and I don't want to toss my phone to the other side of the gym. You know it's boring when.
Yeah. The conspiracy. Oh wait, one more thing. My conspiracy theory is that they got legally married, just had a wedding to appease her. She wasn't giving up the sugar daddy. Oh, that might be, you know, because he did say that he didn't need to get married. He said in one of the previews tonight, he didn't, it was not important to him, but in order for her to stay, that they had to. All right, so let's cut out tonight. We went over. But we'll be back tomorrow and we'll discuss the second to the last episode
Torture.
of The Last Resort. Make sure you're following Gino. I'm tagging this video. Make sure you follow me on all social media platforms at George Massey, georgemassey.com. Anyways, get your podcast, type in the George Massey Show. Thank you for staying up late with us. Everybody, have a good week. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.